Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Monday, September 16th, 2013. Well, tonight's guest began performing live at the age of 12 and played his first arena show on his 15th birthday. A worship leader who, quote, doesn't sound like a carbon copy of anyone else, end quote, and combines elements of rock and folk in his worship songs, Derek Drover is both a worship leader and an ordained minister who lives in Elmer, Ontario. Derek's currently working on his third CD and is on the phone with us tonight to talk about music, recording, and ministry. But before we get to that conversation, let's listen to Name Above from Derek Drover's Worship and Wonder CD. And now we're interview with Derek Drover. Good evening, Derek.
Hello, good evening.
How are you?
Good, yourself?
Good. Now, let's go back to the beginning with you. How did you get interested in music?
I guess I was always interested in it. I was, even as a kid before I played, you know, anytime the radio was on, I was always paying attention. I could memorize words for some reason, the lyrics of the song and how they went. And I don't know, it just seemed to always be there.
Now, in terms of your interest in that, who have been some of your musical influences over the year?
And that's a really long list. I guess, you know, as it started, I suppose when I first started getting into playing and doing the things I'm doing, some of the first ones that come to mind would probably be like, you know, Michael W. Smith, for example, because, you know, when we started going to church, I was about, you know, 9 years old. And before that, I never really paid attention to who was who. But after that, you know, my family started looking for Christian artists, you know, or influences. And so, you know, someone like him, you know, and then as I started getting older and started getting into different things myself, the list of who I enjoy and my influences is really long. It goes all the way from you know, like the Blind Boys of Alabama to Joe Bonamassa to Stevie Ray Vaughan to all kinds of different piano players that I would hear and listen to. And it's really tough because I enjoy all the genres of music and enjoy listening to them. But, you know, there are a few special ones, yeah.
It sounds like a fairly eclectic list. When you're looking at that and you're looking at those influences, is there any one or two that you sort of have have taken, and that really has an impact on your own style and how you play and even songwrite?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. No, I really don't try to emulate or copy any one person. I just enjoy what they do and recognize that I do a different thing. And you know, like somebody like a Dave Matthews, for example, I really have an appreciation for how they just, you know, let the sound just progress and let the instruments play and everything, you know, build. And there's different, there's so many variations to what they do, and the technicalities to what they do is quite difficult, and I appreciate that. So I do try to, you know, myself and the band, when we get together, we say, let's just not play this. Let's think about it. Let's make it our own. Let's make it special. So not necessarily that you copy any one person, but you take things that you enjoy or like, and you say, well, I enjoy how they do that, and I realize that they're thinking that through rather than just getting up and playing a four-chord progression over and over and over. And, you know, so I can appreciate the intellect behind certain bands and how they do it.
Now, what about songwriters? Are there any songwriters that you really look at and appreciate and sort of try to deconstruct their lyric writing in order to sort of take that and say, well, here's how I can change a lyric or change a hook or something along those lines?
Again, no, I most of the people that I really enjoy are probably considered public domain, I guess. You know, I really, as far as lyrics go, I really enjoy like hymns and older songs, that folk songs that a lot of people don't know. I'm one of those guys that I'm always searching out the old folk songs and that people don't know who wrote them, and they just kind of came down through the generations. And why did they stay? You know, they were great songs, and they never necessarily were even recorded. But why is it that they kept coming down through generation to generation? There's a reason. And so I don't really look at it, again, as, you know, going to say, oh, I'm going to listen to the newest, you know, Hillsong CD and say, well, how did they do this and how did they do that? No, that's a nice hook there. And, you know, it's that's not really my way of doing it, no.
Speaking of folk songs and that, do you know Roger McGuinn from the Byrds? He's got a folk song website out there. I'll send you the link. It's actually really neat. He's cataloged and actually recorded a whole series of folk songs from way, way back.
Excellent. No, I've never heard of him that I can remember, but okay. Yeah, send me the link.
Okay. Looking at what you're doing in that now, you're doing worship leading, were called to ordained ministry in that. Which came first, that calling to lead worship or that calling to go into ministry full-time?
For me, it's the only thing really that I've ever known. Like, I actually started leading worship like full-time when I was 12 years old. It was kind of just something that happened. I got thrown into it. I was able to do it on a very low level, I would say, like, you know, musically. But I guess my heart was there. It was pure, I suppose, you know what I mean? Like, and that's what made the difference. Like, I couldn't really play all that well, but when I got up to do it, people sensed the genuine, you know, spirit of how I was doing it, and that's really what worship is, right? And then the Lord blessed that, and so for me, I've been doing this for about 20 years now, and so I've really known nothing different. And then the music and then the preaching kind of just happened together, and so I never really thought about separating the two. Like, there was a time when I kind of was like, well, what do? Am I a worship leader? Am I a preacher? Like, kind of had a bit of an identity crisis, you know? And then somebody just simply said, do both. And I was like, oh, maybe I will do both, you know, if you can do it, and why not? So I did. And, you know, there was never a question of whether pretty much or not. It's not, I don't just do it, it's kind of who I am, right? Like, it's what I've always done. So there's never been a time of I'm going to go in full-time ministry. I feel called. That just was always there.
Right. Well, what I want to do is I want to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll be with our guest, Derek Drover, to talk about his latest CD project. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
For your presence, Lord, no one else will do. Wrap your arms around me so I'm tied in your embrace. Here for no other purpose but to seek your face. And I'm so grateful for all that you've done, all that you've done. I'm so thankful that you sent your son, sent him to set me free. And no one else will do. Wrap your arms around me so I'm tied in your embrace. I'm here for no other purpose but to seek your face. And I'm so grateful for all that you've done, all that you've done for me. I'm so thankful that you sent your son, set me free, to set me free.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Like You from the Worship and Wonder CD by Derek Drover. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Derek. I want to go back to the songwriting component for a minute. The way the process works for you, and I'm always interested in talking to artists and creatives about how that whole process works. With you, are you a lyrics first writer, a music first? Do they both come at the same time? Does it just depend? How does songwriting work for you?
Well, I'm going to sound like a politician here because I'm going to basically say it's kind of all three, sometimes it is the music, sometimes it's the lyrics, sometimes it's both at the same time. I can't ever just say this is how it's going to be, right? Like, there are times when that is the case. Like, for example, the new project I'm working on is all piano instrumental. So I know, you know, when I sit down, it's just going to be all music, you know. So it's pretty easy that way. But a lot of times it's just me allowing, like, you know, the Holy Spirit just speaking into, you know, just all day. Like, sometimes it's funny. Like, I'll find myself doing just little things around the house or this or something, and this chorus will start kind of coming and next thing you know, I'm rushing for a pen and paper and writing it down or recording it on my iPad or whatnot. And then I'm dealing with a song, and the inspiration just comes like that. And you got to go with it. But sometimes you deliberately sit down to write, like when I wrote Risen off Worship, Living Proof. I wrote the music first, and it was like, okay, now I need to put the lyrics to this. Like, it was a deliberate process, but it's different all the time.
In terms of that inspiration, and you saying, you know, you could just be doing something around the house and something pops into your mind, what are some of the sources of inspiration for you? Where do you get the ideas for your songs?
For me, you know, it comes from everything. Like, obviously, music is a huge inspiration. Other people's music. I'm not one of those guys that I find listening to music very relaxing. Like, I'm always engaged, you know. And so when I go to a restaurant, if I'm out at a nice restaurant and the music is, like, awful, like, it you know, it bothers me because, like, it's not right for the atmosphere. So I'm always engaged to the music. I'm always listening. Music is a huge one. Life, like life circumstances and life things that happen. And then I would say my faith probably is another big, big inspiration for me.
Now, you mentioned that you've just gone back into the studio and you're doing another CD on instrumental worship songs. That. What made you decide to go back into the studio?
Actually, for this is my third CD now. This was no real big epiphany here. My wife is a massage therapist, registered massage therapist. And she works out of her home, so she's actually working right now across the wall from me. I'm in my office, working space. She's in her working space, and she comes out one day and she says to me, she goes, "I'm so tired of all my CDs that I have." She goes, "Can you make me one?" and I kind of looked at her and I said, "I'll try, I guess. You know, I never did anything like that before." And of course, you know, they like to have nice, soft, like, you know, mostly easy piano or some sort of thing like that, guitar, whatever, soft, like relaxing, you know, peaceful kind of music. So that was it. I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I sat down to do it, to try to do it, and found it to be the hardest thing that I've ever done musically for writing. But yet it's been really extremely rewarding.
Well, you say on your website, and I was doing some background information for the interview, that you enjoy playing live. So what's it like getting into a studio for you, where you're removed from that audience situation? And I know that there is a big difference between playing in front of people who you can get immediate feedback from, and playing in front of a mic where, you know, you're hoping that something's going to come out of it.
Yeah, well, playing live, like, I'm a live player. I love that. Like, I mean, again, for me, I feel at home there. It's been 20 years that I've been in front of people, usually, you know, with an instrument, with singing. So I'm very used to it. Whereas in the studio, you're not. Like, you're taken out of your element. All of a sudden, you're not comfortable. You're not used to it. You're under the microscope, you know, so to speak. And things that you would, you know, normally do right or do good or do things, all of a sudden in there you're holding your instrument a little tighter, you're feeling it, right? Because you know this is being recorded. And but once you get past that, and after a little while you start to feel pretty good, you know, it the studio reveals a lot of weaknesses and the things that you need to keep working on. So for me, that was the biggest thing that I found was, you know, I was able to see and I was able to hear different areas that I need to work on, different areas that I need to perfect. And, you know, whereas playing live, it's very unforgiving. It's very forgiving, but playing in the studio, it's unforgiving. It just is what it is. Like, if you mess it up or if you are not playing it that well, you're just not playing it that well. But if you're playing live in front of people, you know, there's a lot of other things happening, like other band members, people singing, you know, crowd noise, different things, and things are very forgiving that way. And so the two worlds are very far apart. I enjoy them both. They both have their own challenges, but I definitely prefer being on the stage than in the studio.
Well, the other thing is, too, is on the stage, if you make a mistake, you can just go on you know, as you say, it's very forgiving. But when you're in the studio, if you make a mistake, you got to start back over again. And does that get challenging to go back over to do the same thing? Especially, say, for example, you're getting right to the end of a section and you know you're almost there and something happens, you make a mistake, and then you got to start all over again.
Yeah, in some cases, like, you know, depending on the song, you can just fix that little area. But, you know, with this, what I was working on now, the new CD called Rest, the piano instrumental, I had to play it right because it's all free time. So basically it's not played to like a metronome or anything. So I had to just play it right because there's no way to open up a section and say, okay, let's fix that section, because there's, you know, you can't just get into the flow of what you're doing or the timing of what you're doing. And, you know, so here I am like 6 minutes into a song and I, you know, start messing up, you just got to stop and start over. So there were days where I was playing for, over 8 hours a day. And that would happen quite regularly when I was recording this album, where I was playing for 6 hours, 5 hours, 8 hours, 7 hours. And that's a lot of playing. And most of that playing came because, you're 5, 6, or 7 minutes into a song and you start messing up and you got to start it over. So it doesn't take long for an hour to pass by when that kind of thing happens.
When you're doing that, when you're going through that whole process, and I mean that happens too when you're just recording, something that isn't live off the floor like you are now, but you're recording something that you can go back and you can fix up a section and that. How do you keep all of that fresh without it getting, you get bored with a particular song or you just get frustrated with something because it's not going the way you would envisioned. How do you keep yourself going in that kind of process so that ultimately what you get at the end and when the CD comes out is a project that you've put your best forth term in terms of artistically and performing?
Sometimes you have to take a break from a song, and move on to another song. And then when you come back to it, then you're ready to go again. You are ready to actually start playing and practicing and getting at it again. So sometimes there is no way around it. You just have to stop doing what you're doing and take a break.
Well, listen, I think we need to take one more break, and when we're going to take this final break, and we'll come back and wrap up our conversation with Derek Drover. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Forevermore from the Worship and Wonder CD by Derek Drover. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to finish up our conversation with Derek this evening. Looking at what's going on, what's next on the agenda for you?
Do you mean like for touring or for...
Yeah, touring concerts. I see you've been tweeting that you're going to be on the same stage as some of the guys from the Robertson family from Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, I'm going to be opening for them when they come to the Budweiser Gardens in London on October the 12th, I believe that is the date. Let me just double check that for you, actually. That's October 12th, at Bud Gardens. And anyway, you can find out more about that online.
Now, how did that all come about?
Pardon me?
How did that all come into place?
Well, they're doing work with a charitable organization here in the area called Farmtown Canada. And so they're about 10, 15 minutes away from where I am. And, you know, people, you get to know people and they hear you play. They come out and hear you play and develop a relationship. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're opening for Jace Robertson, you know. So it was pretty awesome.
And what else is on your agenda?
Well, I got just conferences coming up where I'm leading worship. You know, a lot of the same old thing. A lot of travel for me. Finding myself in different places all the time. Different groups of people. So you know, finishing off this album, and then you know, in the wintertime, I'm heading out east for a month. So all of that is going to be pretty interesting fall and winter, that's for sure.
And speaking of the new CD, when do you expect to have that out so people can look for it?
Sorry, I got a bit of a tickle in my throat here. A lot of singing and different things. We'll do that. So I got probably late October, early November, I would say.
Great. And if people are interested in finding more about you, about Derek Drover, how can they do that?
They can go to my website, www.derekdrover.com, DerrickDrover.com, and everything is through there.
Great. Derek, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thanks so much, and God bless everybody. Thanks for listening.
And thank you for listening to Ars Connection today. Thanking my guest, Derek Drover. And if you want to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, look for the archive program on our website at www.selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.